Hey, everyone. I'm Amy Standen, Ear Hustle's editor.
And I'm Rahsaan New York Thomas, Ear Hustle producer. And do you believe, Amy, they left us alone to kick off the fundraiser?
We better not blow it, Rahsaan. The stakes are high.
We're going to blow it. We just have to find new jobs, I guess. This is the second Ear Hustle fundraiser I've been here for, and I never knew how much the show relies on listener support.
It really, really does. From now through the end of this season in June, our goal is to reach 1,000 donors.
So, Amy, for folks who donate, should we tell them where that money goes?
Sure. These donations help fund our ongoing work, but also things like getting us into prisons where we've never been before. Like if you enjoyed our episode about the hospice program at CMF, or the ones we've done with the women we've been meeting at the world's largest women's prison, CCWF. And there's also some really cool behind-the-scenes stuff, like developing an Ear Hustle curriculum for high school teachers.
Listener donations support all of that. Plus, this year, supporters will be invited to join us for a virtual party on June 13th, and they get a playlist of songs picked by the team.
And everyone who donates $10 a month or more will get access to Ear Hustle Plus, which is our new subscription service with ad-free episodes and bonus content.
Find out more and donate at earhustlesq.com.
Listener support means so much to us. Thank you. Should we give the mic back to Nigel Nerland now?
Not yet. We just got it.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds.
You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This is Sam Lewis, Executive Director of ARC, the Anti-Recidivism Coalition. The following episode of Ear Hustle contains language and content that might not be suitable for all listeners. Discretion is advised.
I had two life insurance policies taken out on me in the 80s because I really didn't think I was going to make it. It was just that bad, you know.
Give us an example. Like, how bad was it in the 80s?
Well, every day you come out your cell, you better be GQ'd up.
What that mean?
GQ magazines. You get four GQ magazines. You tape one up to the top half and the lower half of your front and the same in the back. State belt tightens them in. And you three, four jackets down because, I mean, you don't have to be a gang member or anything to get stabbed. People were still getting stabbed in the eyes with bed springs, getting hit 13, 14 times with them flats and rods. Come out of that cell, anything's liable to happen. Whatever happens, you need to be prepared.
Alvin Gator Williams is an old school convict.
He got to San Quentin in what, like the early 80s?
Yeah, he's been around a long time.
San Quentin's pretty different now.
Oh, no doubt. You know, it was times that you would never see a person lay down on the grass on the lower yard. If you did, he was either stabbed or dying or something was wrong. But now you can go out there and throw a blanket out there and just lay back if you want to.
So is there any part of you that misses the way it was?
Just a little. I don't miss the violence. I miss the rules and regulations that each convict had to live by because there's none of that anymore.
It's really interesting to be nostalgic for a time when San Quentin was as violent as Gator described. But like he said, it's not the violence. It's the order that violence made possible or, you know, was able to reinforce.
Definitely. Because back in those days, you know, there was a whole structure, a system that kept people in line. You know, rules about what type of people could associate with which.
So like if you were in prison at the time for like a sex crime or you were a snitch or a cop,
you wouldn't be walking that line.
Things aren't going to go well.
Nah, not at all. No. It'll be all bad. And there were a gang of other unofficial rules, too. You know, a lot of which have changed or dissipated.
It's not the place it used to be.
Nope, definitely not. We're going to talk about those changes today and see what OGs like Gator have to say about it.
Okay, Earlonne, but before we go any further, let's talk about all the possible things that OG could actually mean.
Original gangster.
It's not old geezer.
Nah, it might be old guys in this sense.
Or how about older gentleman? That's so respectable.
Maybe. Older gentleman might be cool. It just might be old gramps.
Grampy, old grampy. I'm Nigel Poor.
I'm Earlonne Woods. This is Ear Hustle from PRX's Radiotopia.
Man, it's hard to define San Quentin. Now that you got gang members, dropouts, rapists, a lot of youngsters, a lot of dudes with mental issues, you know what I mean? All that entwined off into this. I'm trying to figure out, is this still San Quentin? You know, it might be something other than that, just holding the name. You know what I mean?
Okay, so one big change that's happened at San Quentin, and I hate to say it, but I think we're going to have to try to explain it one more time.
Two words. Non-designated.
Yep, because that's the change that Gator is referring to. And will you take a stab at this one, please?
A stab? Really?
Okay, sorry. Will you try to explain this one, please, sir?
So, a few years ago, San Quentin became what's known or what's called a non-designated yard.
Tell me more, my friend.
A non-designated yard means that no matter what your crime is or whatever your standing is in prison, you're in the general prison population.
Yeah, so basically anybody can be there.
Anybody can be there. No matter who you are, where you come from, what your crime is, you can be in that type of environment.
And this definitely bothers some of the old timers.
It bothers a lot of the old timers.
Yeah.
The administration don't want the guys over there in A section to tell us anything about what they're in here for. Snitches, rapists, or people that did things to senior citizens and stuff like that. We can't tolerate that. I mean, it's a code of ethics to hit the wrong side of the law.
So this code of ethics that Gator's referring to, it's more than just about what people's crimes are. It's a whole system of prison etiquette.
Like, no wearing shower shoes, no disrespecting each other, like, say, no saying certain words.
Yeah, and, like, not gambling.
Like, no gambling debts. On your ass. Meaning,
okay.
You can gamble, but don't gamble on your ass. Meaning, you better have some money to pay them debts. Back in the day, you learned all this stuff at a higher level prison, like a level 4.
Right. So by the time you got to a level 2, like San Quentin is today, you'd know all those rules, so you wouldn't be doing stupid shit and drawing attention to yourself.
Exactly. You would cut that shit out quick.
I can see where a lot of dudes that's doing time here need to go to a level 4 before they come here so that they can know how to respect everybody else, you know, so that they can get a full understanding of the concepts of doing time in a prison. Even staff, everybody should start at a level 4 to see exactly how the prison rules and the prison game goes, because it'll help you in the long run. This is my home. You cannot come in here and disrespect my house. You're going to abide by all the rules just like everybody else do. But now you can't even say that to him anymore. Because I don't know what this place is now. You know what I mean? I really don't. It's a place that I know that a lot of dudes, they probably turning over in their grave at the way it's going today because of the youngsters that's coming in and they not being educated.
First time I came, I have never seen a white guy. From where I come from, I never seen a white guy that weighed over 300 pounds, 6'7". Right? He looked like a barbarian. And his hair came way down here and his shoulders was this wide. Right? So it scared me to death. I'm like, wow, where did they get these creatures from?
Eddie Turner is 62, and he's been incarcerated for a total of about 17 years over 3 stints, twice at San Quentin. So the first time he was there was the early 80s, that time Gator was talking about, and he was brand new to prison at that time. And he's a perfect example of what Gator's talking about, right? Getting schooled by your elders.
Right, right.
Can you tell me about any lessons you learned the hard way as a youngster first coming to prison?
Well, I learned about that word, right? The N word, real bad. And I used to be saying it over the tear. And these brothers came at me. They came to my cell and they looked at me and he said, hey, young brother, we don't use that word here. He said, that's your first warning, your last warning, right? And then I seen a knife about that long.
He's that's like 20 inches.
Yeah. He said, you get the point or you want the point? I said, I get the point. And I never had a problem with that word again.
Okay, Erlon, a 20-inch knife, that's a real lesson.
That's some movie shit.
Well, what do you think about the use of that particular language?
So I think, you know, now when we speak of OGs, we're speaking of OGs, like individuals that guided people through the system, that literally, you know, walked around the track with you and talked. We're not speaking of guys that just sat there and got old and didn't bother nobody. Mm-hmm. We're talking about people that really molded other people. So, you know, back in those days, they were hella conscious, you know, and yeah. They weren't with the saying the N-word. It wasn't with none of that.
Yeah.
That was more, I would like to say, during the Black Power, Black Panther type movement. But then, you know, when like the gangs came through, like the street gangs, the Crips, the Bloods, you know, it was nigga this, nigga that, nigga, you was gonna be fighting a major fight just behind a word, and I don't think, you know, it rose to that. But I know for a long time you had certain individuals that did not like the word, period. Yeah. Mainly it was more people that was on the Black conscious or the Muslims or something like that.
I still hear guys debating it inside San Quentin today.
Because you're going to always have the old heads, you know, and you're going to have the young cats.
I'm with the old ones.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, definitely. They definitely had a point.
Yeah.
And so let's start off with, are you down for this interview?
Yes.
Wait, can I see you for a question? I'm out of breath. You do those five flights every day?
Every single day. I do two steps at a time. I'm used to it.
Last summer, New York and I went to the top tier, the fifth tier of North Block. Erlon, what tier were you on?
When I first started there, on the fifth, I was on a dirty nickel.
I love that they call that the dirty nickel. How was your breath getting up to the top?
So, you know, it all depends. So it's cool on a regular, but if you're carrying groceries, you know, like you're going to the store, that's when it sucks.
So we went all the way to the dirty nickel because we were looking for a couple of old timers. And Erlon, do you remember on the Muppets, there were those two old guys that like sat up on the balcony?
Nah, I don't think I watched the Muppets. Nah. Kind of, sort of, now that you say it, I don't know.
Yeah, okay. So, like, it was these two curmudgeonly guys who basically just sat up on a balcony, looked down at everybody, and just talked shit about everything that they saw. These guys on the Dirty Nickel are just like that. They lean over the tier and complain about everything that they see happening below them.
Kind of like prison TV.
What's your name and how long you been incarcerated?
My name is Isaiah Caldwell. I've been incarcerated 24, almost 25 years. I've been here in San Quentin for almost 17 years next month.
And how old are you?
I'm 52.
Would you consider yourself an OG?
Yes.
What does it mean to be an OG?
Well, coming up from the streets, it used to mean original gangster. But as in the prison life, it's more of the older gentleman that has the wisdom, that's been around, that's actually conveying information to the youngsters.
Is New York an OG?
He's more of an old geezer.
Wait a minute, I'm a year younger.
Doesn't matter. He moves old. Everything he does is old.
I'm going to take a wild guess and say these two dudes have some opinions about the new generation coming up in San Quentin.
Of course they do.
You see some of the strangest things here. If you got out and told somebody this story, they would lock you up.
They would not believe you whatsoever.
They'll start backing away like, he's been incarcerated too long. Something's not right with this guy. He's off of his rocker.
I mean, that's the stuff you're going to see. Screwball behavior. Screwball behavior. It's depressing. That's the best way I can describe it. It's depressing. A lot of them just aimlessly wandering around the bottom tier with nothing to do.
Play cards all day.
All day long. And dominoes. And when you go on the board, they're not going to ask you about your domino hand or anything like that. They want to ask you about the crime you committed and how you have changed. And some of these games is not going to teach you how to change. It'll teach you how to be a better prisoner. Yeah, we sit here, we talk and laugh about it, but it's really sad. It's not nothing to really laugh about. The youngsters' conversations, it's mind-blowing. It's like they're talking alien because you don't understand nothing they're saying, and the substance of it, there is no substance. The use of language, the substance of the conversation, it's about absolutely nothing. And this, they can pull this conversation all day long.
Yes.
And you'd be like, how do you talk about nothing for hours at a time?
I mean, most of the time it's about the person on the outside not doing the package, not sending the money, da-da-da-da-da. Hey, she gonna come visit? I don't care if she visits. I just want the money. And it's not the language that I'm using. It's, a lot of profanity. But they never get visits. They never get visits.
And you wonder why.
I'm looking down on the tier, and I see that somebody threw a book. Do you see that book down there?
Yeah.
That's screwball behavior, throwing a book.
That is screwball behavior all the time.
Seeing them and listening to them, it just kind of made me think about, you know, older people in general and how as you get older, you sort of start to see your own obsolescence, you know. And so One of the ways to deal with that is to talk about how things have changed and things aren't the same as they used to be. And I think it's just because, you know, you're not going to be part of it forever.
No, there's nothing else to do but nag.
Nag on how bad the youngins are.
How many cells have you lived in since you've been in San Quentin?
Oh, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 cells.
Can you name the numbers?
Yes. 104, 180, 183, 174, 220, and 164 by the police station, but I didn't like that it was too close to the police station.
William Hitman Hearn has been incarcerated for 17 years, and he's had a bunch of cellies in that time.
Where they currently have you caged?
I'm in West Block, 269 Lower.
269 Lower. And who runs that cell?
I run that cell.
You the cell captain?
I'm the cell captain.
So cells are a typical place where OGs try to share their prison wisdom. Mm-hmm. And Erlen, I'm just wondering, how do you react to that idea of a cell captain?
I get triggered. That's how I react, you know? Because, you know, I'm always the person that try to think rational.
Yeah.
Like, they gave us a cell that's for both of us.
Yeah.
So it's both of us, not just you.
You are the furthest thing from a cell captain.
Nah,
I can't imagine.
Nah, you can do what you do, but don't implement your rules on me. I'm good with that.
What is a cell captain?
A cell captain is the one that keeps everything in order in the cell. He keeps it clean. The only thing I ask for you to do is when you come in is to clean up behind yourself. If you come in the cell the first day, I like to really peep you and see how you're living. And sometimes you come in, you might come in with a lot of dirty clothes. So I try to keep something in there for you because them clothes get to smell it.
Hygiene. OGs are obsessed with hygiene.
I mean, now, hygiene is one of them things you cannot live in a small quarters with someone else that's funky.
Okay, well, fair enough. Then maybe they have something
but
here.
You don't have to be looking for that. He looking for
I just
it.
Imagine him going around like...
He looking for dirty clothes. Yeah, we all know dirty clothes stink, but you know.
The sniffer.
okay, man, you know, I know you need a shower. You ain't been showering or something over there. You can go shower right now. You ain't got no clean clothes. He said, well, I say I'll get some tomorrow. Okay, then. We work with him like that. But I also let him know when you come in that I'm a Muslim. I pray 5 times a day. I like to pray inside the cell. Shoes off at the door when you come in. The floor look like water running across the floor. That's how it waxed up in here. It costs money to keep that wax on the floor like that.
What other rules are there? So no shoes?
No shoes, shoes off. I would ask you, if you're not a Muslim, if you would mind if you use urinate in the bathroom, would you mind, you know, if you sit down? Well, they say, if I don't sit down, well, can you squat down and get low? They just said, well, I'm not no woman. Well, okay, then, that's cool. Well, if you want to stand up and urinate, you got to clean up behind yourself because urinate splashes upside the wall. Anytime that you use the toilet, you need to, I got a brush there. You I got disinfect and I got bleach. You need to clean that toilet every time that you use it.
Every single time?
Yes, ma'am.
So list all your rules, man. So far we got... no shoes, socks only. Yes,
only socks on.
Piss sitting down.
Yeah.
I only cook for me.
Only cook for me. You ain't going to sit down there and watch my TV because you don't have one. See, because one thing, if you start with them youngsters, letting them push on your TV, and man, when you come in, they got your music. I didn't come in, they playing the music loud. I can hear the music coming up the stairs. I said, what happened? They said, OG, I thought we was cool. I never told you to touch my stuff.
What do you think, E?
Nah, I mean, you know, if a person want to keep the cell clean, cool. You know what I'm saying? But me personally, I'm going to clean my what I need to be clean. You know what I'm saying? You know, a lot of dudes had rules on cells, and, you know, that's what starts a lot of the problems. You know? And it's like, man, listen, man. Fuck all that shit. Let me do me. You know what I'm saying?
I think you're more a live and let live type guy.
Yeah, don't put no. We already got the officers got their rules on us. Fuck, you got rules in the cell.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I'm out of respect, you know, but all the extra shit, no.
I get a cell, they don't stay long.
Because of the rules?
No, they don't stay on. I don't know what's because of the rule. One dude said that I'm too needy and too picky. So they'll move out themselves. I don't have to keep them in there too long. They'll go. We is incompatible. You nasty, and I can't deal with it. And, you know, it's best for you to find you somewhere to go. I like you, youngster, but we just can't live together. And you leave it like that.
Wait, do you have a cellie now?
Yeah, I got a Muslim in the cell with me now, youngster. Yeah, I got a Muslim, but he's good. Talk so much, I have to put the headphones on.
Oh, well, what's the rule around talking?
You talk all day. I talk all day outside. When I come in, it's time to shut up, like, rest, read a book.
So how do you tell him to be quiet?
No, I don't tell him nothing. He be talking. I'm doing something else. I put the headphones on. I ain't here. I don't keep on telling me some, yeah, uh-huh, mm-hmm. We don't do that.
You get mostly younger cellies?
Mostly young. I haven't ever, since I've been down, no old cellies. I don't know, they just bring young cellies to me.
And do you think that these young guys are looking for a father figure? So they're heavy up rules?
But I can't help them. This generation right here now, they just want to smoke some weed and get high. And one dude come and I give him some toothpaste, soap, deodorant. He took it and sold it just so he could smoke. You know, if you ask me something, I give it to you. If not, I don't try to tell you nothing. I ain't raising nobody kid.
After the break,
the youngsters clap back.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.
Support for Ear Hustle comes from Odoo. If you feel like you're wasting time and money with your current business software, or just want to know what you could be missing, then you need to join the millions of other users who switched to Odoo. Odoo is the affordable all-in-one management software with a library of fully integrated business applications that help you get more done in less time for a fraction of the price. To learn more, visit odoo.com/earhustle. That's odoo.com/earhustle. Odoo, modern management made simple.
Start when you're ready.
What's an OG?
OG is like somebody who is like older than you, who is going to give you like advice. We call them OG because where he's been, you never been there. He always tell you, hey, do this, do this, do this. But sometimes you feel like we are in prison. I want to do whatever I want to do too. They've been down for a minute, so they know every trick. And they got OG tricks. The OG tricks.
Magic. Yes,
yeah, they've been tricking the youngsters because...
Like, what's an OG trick?
OG trick is like, okay, I'm going to the water fountain. You're going to go drink water. As soon as he's getting close to... You were there before him, but he can call you youngster. Hey, this guy calling you. As soon as you tell like this, he passed by you and go drink the water. And you see, they got hella tricks. So you got to be careful about that. They got hella tricks. OGs got hella tricks.
At what age do you become an OG?
I think like 50. 50.
What is an OG to you?
Okay, an OG, man, it's two different terms from, you know, what I know. So you got the hood term, OG gangster in the hood, you know what I mean? But then you got the one where it's talking about those people who experience life, who been down a minute, or who's seen some things.
What do you think when you see guys who have been in prison for decades?
Well, if I'm thinking of my criminal lifestyle, I think that's somebody that I respect. But if I'm trying to get out and do the right thing, then I just think that's someone that's made a lot of bad decisions.
What does a typical OG do on the yard?
Hopefully stay out the way. Stay out the way.
From what I've known and seen, some of them just really just kick back. They play their little chess games. They play their dominoes. They do their little workouts. You got some very healthy OGs around here.
And healthy section in the yard?
I wouldn't say that. The OG, he gonna be where he at. And I'm gonna be, he gonna be where he be.
He was there first too.
Yeah, I got here early.
Is there anything that irritates you about OGs?
Yeah. When they think they just know everything. They think they just know everything. And it could be something that they didn't know. They're going to act like they knew it first.
This older guy walked by shaking his cane at us.
Yeah.
Hey, Bruce.
Angry people.
How did you get started with Shakespeare?
I happened to see a San Quentin news thing, and I saw some brothers on it, and I seen lots of pretty women on there, too. You know what I'm saying?
Darwin Tall Billingsley is in his 60s. He's been incarcerated 41 years, and for the last couple of years, he's been involved with a group that performs Shakespeare's plays in prison.
Oh, foolish youth. You seek the greatness that overwhelm you. Stay but a little, for my day is dim.
We went out to the yard the other day, and Tall did an impromptu performance as one of Shakespeare's classic OGs, Henry IV. A young guy named Ray Ray is playing his son, Prince Hal.
Oh, pardon me, my liege. There's your crown. And he that wears the crown immortally, long God is yours. For I whence here came in.
And you know, King Henry's old now, and he has a son, which is me. And he's young. He wants to party. He wants to, you know, be with his boys, you know, be around the women, all that type of stuff. Prince Hal doesn't want to be, you know, king. He just want to live his life. He don't want to take responsibility, take care of his people, take care of the kingdom. King Henry is just trying to tell him, like, man, it's going to come a time where you're going to have to really step up to the plate and take the king role. If you don't, our kingdom is in jeopardy.
Oh, my poor son. Come hither, Harry. Sit thou by my bed, and hear, I think, the greatest counsel I shall ever breathe. God knows,
King Henry's at, he's sick, and so he's on his deathbed. But at the end of the day, he wants to get everything with God that he messed up, all his sins and all that type of stuff. And he's basically explaining to Prince Harry, like, dude, like, you got to be ready for these responsibilities because Harry is the head that wears the crown.
I met this crown, and I myself know well how troublesome it set upon my head.
And so with the responsibility that Prince Henry sees, like, damn, my father's really finna die.
God, glory be to God. And now I lie. In this moment shall Harry die.
Just like Henry IV, Tall is a bona fide OG now. But of course, when he first got to prison, he was anything but that.
I was wild and wicked. I wanted people to know me. I wanted people to respect me. I wanted people to know that they can't mess with me. I was a selfish person. I was hateful. I was. I thought the world, it wasn't a good world. So I got into things to try to build myself up.
Now that Tall is, you know, an OG himself, when he sees young guys out in the yard, he wants to reach out to them.
I mean, that's what cats that give a fuck want to do. Yeah. You know, you see these, some of these cats just need a little bit of guidance.
Yeah,
just a little.
Some of them are really hard. Some of them are really going through it, and people ain't listening to them. And
so why do you want to talk with them?
Because I can see it in some of them. By being in the prisons for so many years, you can read them just like that. You can read them like a snap of a finger. And some of them I feel something for. They're sitting, and they're just alone. And you
want to do something about it when you see that?
I do.
Why? What makes you want to do something about it?
I genuinely care about people because I can remember myself. And I wish somebody had talked to me, especially when I was a kid. I would have listened.
So Ray Ray, the young dude that's playing Tall's son in the play, when he first got to prison, he wasn't really interested in what the older guys had to teach him.
Coming here, I felt like, okay, this OG's telling me stuff. He's not my dad. I only have one dad, so why are you telling me this? And it's like, some what OGs have to understand is like some youngster didn't grow up with a father. You know what I mean? So they felt like, okay, I was a man in the house. I had to take care of my mom. I had to take care of my little sister. You know what I mean?
But something happened a few years ago that changed things between Ray Ray and Tall.
Totally. And E, in a weird way, it's kind of an echo of that Shakespeare play, you know, about facing your parents' mortality.
Hmm.
For Ray Ray, that's exactly what happened in real life, too.
2020, during COVID, my parents caught COVID and it was looking bad. Like, my dad and my mom was on the verge of death, constantly calling my parents and nobody's answering. And so I started to get scared. I started to get worried. I started to start stressing. I started to be angry. And I literally thought to myself, I'm like, okay, if I lose my mom and my dad, what's the point of living? When I finally, they finally came and released us, he was the first person I talked to. And he was like, man, how you been? And I was like, man, I'm not gonna lie to you. I had thoughts of committing suicide. You know, and he said, why would you, you know, try to do that? Do you know people actually care about you? And so it made me cry. I was like, damn, I really have people out there that really loves me.
I wanted him to know that he has a purpose here. And part of the purpose, he's been of service even with me. He's a valuable person. He got lots of stories to tell. He's got talent, skills, and stuff that people would be entertained by him. And to be so young and smart, this guy is really smart. He's smart. And I let him know, man, because I love him just as if he was my kid, my young friend. I think of him in all them kind of ways, man. I love him. And I tell him that all the time.
Juan, did you have anyone in prison that was like kind of like your mentor like that? Or did you do that for anybody else?
Yeah, I had a lot of mentors throughout my prison stint.
What was like the first lesson that you learned that like has stayed with you?
Mind your own business.
That is so you. That is so you.
No, serious shit. Mind your own business.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? If you're not getting full and shitting off of it, it ain't got nothing to do with you.
Well, you know what else I've learned from you, and I bet you learned this also from an OG. Only say what you have to say.
Yeah. I had an OG that told me, say, once it leave your lips, you don't own it no more. Mm. People can do whatever they want to do with mm-hmm. those words.
It's really good advice.
Real talk. That was like one of those things that really stuck, you know?
That makes it feel like you have gratitude towards some OGs. And I do too, because I've learned vicariously through you.
Oh, that's what's up.
Yeah.
That's nice. What's up. So you're the little homie. Thanks to Tony, Africa, Damien, and Cassell for speaking to us out on the yard at San Quentin.
Ear Hustle is produced by me, Nigel Poor, Erlon Woods, Amy Standen, and Bruce Wallace, along with Neroli Price and Rasan New York Thomas.
With help from Tony Tafoya and Rashid Zinnemann. This episode was sound designed and engineered by me, Erlon Woods, with help from Fernando Arruda.
It features music by Antoine Williams, Rashid Zinnemann, E. Phil Phillips, Aaron Showtime Taylor, Gary Harrell, and David Jossi.
Amy Standen edits the show, Shubnam Sigmon is the managing producer, and Bruce Wallace is our executive producer.
Thanks to acting warden Oak Smith, and as you know, every episode of Ear Hustle has to be approved by this woman here.
I am Lieutenant Giamare Berry, the public information officer here at San Quentin State Prison, and I approve this episode.
This episode was made possible by the Jess Trust, working to amplify the voices, vision, and power of communities that are transforming the justice system.
And don't forget to sign up for our newsletter, The Lowdown, where you can learn more about each episode and find out what the Ear Hustle team is up to. Subscribe at earhustlesq.com/newsletter. And you can also find out more about the show on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at earhustlesq.
Ear Hustle is a proud member of Radiotopia from PRX. Radiotopia is a collection of independent, listener-supported podcasts.
Some of the best podcasts around. To hear more, go to radiotopia.fm. I'm Nigel Poor.
I'm Erlon Woods.
Thanks for listening.
They complain about everything, and they whine too much.
It's Erlon.
And Nigel.
Here again, reminding you to donate to our spring fundraiser today so we can keep bringing you more Ear Hustle.
Everyone who donates will be invited to our virtual party on June 13th. If you've never been, it's a fun time where we talk about the season and answer some of your questions live. Uncensored, live.
And I will be on a hologram so y'all can see me.
3DE.
On Zoom. Every donation, any amount, will help us reach our goal. So please go to earhustlesq.com to learn more and please contribute.
Thank you.
If you can find it in your heart, in your pocket, in your wallet, in the couch.